Welcome to Not That Girl Anymore, part of the Liminal Network. I'm your host, Dawn Bouillon. This is more than a podcast. It's a sisterhood. We're reclaiming our voices, our worth, and our lives, one story, one truth, one brave step at a time.
So tell us kind of where you are right now, what you're learning right now, what you're
Right now I'm watching yachts come in. My future husband's on that big one. But
we don't need no damn man, Meg. What are you talking about?
I didn't say I needed him. I needed him. I want to ride on his boat. Where I am now is I'm at the beach.
Yeah.
And I have since I left the first husband. I just left the second one for being sexually abusive and abusive to my children. But I mean, I got to give myself a little grace for that because I walked into that. I basically was like a dead carcass on the side of the road, and he just very manipulatively picks me up and I ate it up. But we were only together like 4 years, and I realized very quickly that it was not good. But you don't want the shame of two divorces. You just, especially in the South, woo, you don't want the shame of two divorces. But when it's bad, it's bad. You know, when you're living in a hotel and people are telling you all kinds of really bad sexual stories about your person that you're married to, you're like, okay, well, I'm gonna go. So that all came to a head. I was living in a hotel and that all came to a head. He went out of town and I packed up everything and decided I was going to move to the beach in 48 hours. Found a place and the girls and I were like flipping the couch down the stairs and flipping couldn't help because he hurt his back. He was going to stay in Huntsville because he had a job. Sorry, I shouldn't name the town. But anyway, we just packed up the truck. Only our stuff. We didn't take any of his things. It was all our old stuff and just what we needed. And literally my aunt came and we drove down to the beach. I'd found a little town home and that's where I've made home. And I immediately, well, I guess about a year before that, I started focusing on forward. Well, I started focusing on this saying. What did I say? It was about every day I would go outside, usually at night.
This was this after you and I connected or before?
It's
Because
all about.
when I started going through my divorce, remember I messaged you.
He messaged me. Yeah.
And then
Yeah.
we reconnected.
I was feeling it then, but
Okay.
I want to say, yes, I started focusing on about the same time you came, we kind of reconnected.
Yeah.
There was turmoil in my marriage. I started focusing on being, I would always say, I'm in the light, I'm of the light, and I'm here because of the light. And I'd usually stand outside by myself. Everybody would be inside and it would be just stars and moon. And we had a big open backyard and I would just stand there and not even really know what I was doing. I was just standing there, trying to find hope. And those words just came to me and I decided that they gave me hope. And I would say those words every single day and I would stand in the light. And then I started reading about grounding and frequencies and, well, grounding. Asher and I would talk about grounding and the health benefits of grounding. And so then I started doing it on a regular basis. And not even thinking initially about getting out of the marriage, but making it better for my soul. Because it was just really not good for my soul. It would never felt good for my soul. And I was very open about that. He knew the whole time that I was not okay with the way he was treating me, what he wanted, what he didn't want, what he was doing to our marriage, what he was doing to my kids.
I remember
He elevated himself and his children above me and my kids on a daily basis. It was really bad. And a
I
lot of,
remember when you told me that. I was like,
yeah. And he was a sex addict and all of that. It was just really bad.
yeah.
And so anyway, I started doing that. And then I started focusing and called, I remember calling him. It's like, these are my four words that I'm focusing on. And I wrote them down and I focused on them every day of peace, prosperity, purpose, and power. And I'd write them in the shower, like in the shower, on the door, when I was taking a shower. I'd write them down just on paper or whatever, going throughout my day. You've got them written down. I have them taped to my computer right here, and I have them taped on my notebook. And I literally write them every single day and say them every single day. I still go outside and look at the stars in the sky and the moon and say, I'm of light and in the light, or at the sunset, and I'm here because of the light. And I go to the ocean and I do grounding, and I embrace creation. And I mean, you guys will think I'm like a hippie, and that's okay, but I just inhale and exhale differently now. And I started doing all of that, and it changed my life. It changed my life. I remember listening to this song. It's a gospel song, girl. Woo. And it was like old black church gospel music. Like I love a bunch of churches like that. And it was called Exodus. And I can remember just being like, Exodus, and focusing on like, oh, this is my Exodus. And I remember thinking, I don't know how it's gonna happen, and it's gonna have to be bad, because I didn't want to go. Like, I really loved him. I know that he didn't love me, but I really did love him. And I can remember thinking, it's gonna get a lot worse. But for some reason in my mind and in my soul, I knew that this was 2025. I knew in 2026, I was like, it's probably gonna happen. In the spring of 2026, it's probably gonna happen. I didn't plan it, but in my mind, it was almost like it was happening, even though it wasn't happening. And I focused on it just being about freedom and my kids and healthiness and being healthy. And then one thing started happening. Boom, just bad stuff that he couldn't take back, stuff that he got caught doing, stuff that he was doing to me. It just kept chipping away and chipping away. And then that final blow came. And it was like, I literally in my mind said, oh, this is my door. This is the door that I'm supposed to walk out of to get away from this situation. And here I am, literally a year later, after saying those words initially and starting that process. And I'm not only just free from a bad situation, I am like financially in a much better situation. Like financially, like blew my brain up, because then you got to start focusing on how am I going to survive. And so then I started focusing on the prosperity piece of this, and not being afraid to say, I'm doing this prosperously. I am not going to do this in welfare and poor and poverty. You didn't bring me here to do that. And so I literally started taking these four words: peace, prosperity, purpose, and power. And every day thinking, what is peace for me? And this is what it feels like. What is prosperity for me? Oh, I already have it. What is purpose for me? Oh, this is my purpose. I'm already doing it. Oh, this is my power, because I couldn't even do any of this shit if I didn't have power. So like, and then just letting the elements of wherever I was like be my battery to push me forward to do it all. And sometimes it's completely fucked, and I fall apart, and I call somebody when I've probably had too much wine, and I cry and say things that I shouldn't say, and at odd times, like 11:30. And so you sober too. It's not an abusive relationship. But you know,
That's human, though, man. It's honest.
yeah. It is. But I want to be free from that too. Like, I want to be so full of light and life and all of these things that I am just bursting to give it away for no other reason than, man, don't live like that. Don't live. Because if love keeps a record of no wrongs, and God is love, then what are you waiting for? Like,
Absolutely.
you don't need permission. And it's definitely people that don't want you to have that freedom, because they don't have anything to gain from you being happy and living your best life. And what's on the other side of letting go, they have nothing to gain from that. But you do. And what a waste of life. Like I was thinking about this the other day, like what a waste of life. I told my daughter this too. If you're given this life, right? No matter what socioeconomical place that you're in, but you're given this body and you're given this soul and you're given this area that wherever you live, and you never love you don't even like you. Like, how depressing is that? Like, how do you even forge up the concept that you're gonna go and love anything else if you can't love yourself? And I really believe that people just don't, and that's why we live around a lot of people who are just fucking miserable, is
And
because
don't you think that's part of what we were taught to do?
taught to do day one, day one.
Day
I can walk into a church Sunday morning and I guarantee you something's gonna come out of somebody's mouth that makes you feel bad about existing.
Right.
How else are they supposed to get that money?
telling us that we're a piece of shit.
Yes. Oh yeah, that's what did we say? Oh, so dumb. I go to church. Wait, I was born. How did I say it? I was born a piece of shit. So I was told to believe in Christ. So when I would then be a believer, I would know that I was a piece of shit. And I would go to church every Sunday knowing that I was a piece of shit, but I had Jesus. And every day after that, I confess that I am a piece of shit. I serve the church and give my money to them because I'm a piece of shit. And then when I die, it's okay then, even though I was a piece of shit, I'm gonna go to heaven.
That lovely? And you think about that, Meg.
Like,
If we are conditioned in that way, and our brain is just like it's built in that way. I'm a piece of shit,
yeah, I'm a piece of shit.
so my
So I
choice
have to love Jesus. So I'll still be a piece of shit, but I'm okay because I love Jesus. Here's my money, and I confess it in front of everybody that I'm a piece of shit. And I go to Bible studies, and I'm still a piece of shit. And I go to church every Sunday, but I'm still a piece of shit. And I go on mission trips, but I'm still a piece of shit. I'm like, when do you get to not be a piece of shit?
Right. And I think that that is part of healing and recovery. And when you realize we don't have to go down that path, what if we woke up and said, I'm fucking amazing? And then we went this way instead.
Yeah.
You
But
think I'm a piece of shit, your choices are going to
my
line
job is to be amazing because I was born that way. It's really easy.
Exactly. I mean, if
What
you're,
if you walked around with, how dare you walk around with that kind of confidence?
Right. If you know you're loved, then your choices are going to be totally different. How do you love
Right.
you today? You
Right.
know, what,
Like,
how do you go about your day?
how amazing would it be if, instead of them telling you that you were a piece of shit your entire childhood and life, right? And I know they don't technically use the words piece of shit, but that's what sinner means.
It's
Okay.
pretty clear.
Pretty clear. Pretty clear. You're at the bottom of somebody's shoe. You were told something else. Like, you were never told that. You were never told anything about that. And you were told, you see all this? You see the sky and the sunset, the ocean, the way it smells, and the beautiful trees, all those animals, flowers. And you see all that? See how big and wide the ocean is and how powerful it is. The creator of all of that loves you no matter what. And what if you were told that?
And
And that
treat
there was nothing that you couldn't ask for. There was nothing that you couldn't speak into existence and not say that you deserve that and should have that. And that loving yourself and being the best version of yourself was exactly what you were supposed to do every single day. Do you think that there would be like a lot of depression and God, and do you think we would have all of these
life-changing.
teenagers cutting themselves and hurting themselves if we like intentionally said from the time that they were little, oh my God, you are so loved and so just wonderful the way you are. And yeah, you're gonna like mess up and there's gonna be hard times in your life, but that doesn't mean that you're not loved, and it doesn't mean that you don't deserve to be loved.
Yeah, absolutely. And
Where was all that information?
I know. And I feel like that's what we're doing. We're re reparenting ourselves in that
Yeah.
way. right
Yeah.
now, you know? And I think our therapy, both Meg and I are in therapy.
Yes, yeah. I know people like this though. I know people like this who were like born and they were just loved.
Yeah.
And they're so successful, they're so confident, they're so free, they're so light, they're so, and I'm like, I checked so many boxes. And I'm 45 and just now waking up to the reality that that is exactly how I'm supposed to be raised, and the life that I was supposed to be given, and the person that I'm supposed to be. It's just loving me.
And it's accessible to you. You know, it's like we've kind of been taught that this is just what we were dealt and this is what we have to deal with, you know, versus actually we get to choose what we do with that pain. We get to choose what we do with the girl that went through that pain, right? And we get to choose the life that we want to live now, connected to
Yeah.
it.
And you
Love.
know, and just the pressure of being like the life that I'm gonna live now, and the pressure, like, what I'm gonna do? What am I gonna do? I need to be doing this, and I need to be doing that, and I'm do and do and do and do. And I'm such a doer, okay? And I'm a do and do and do and do because I gotta, that's what I'm supposed to do is do. And the amazing thing is when I went through all of this, like, the hardest thing that I have been able to do is nothing. And nothing is what I need to give to myself. I like literally need to rest, take a nap. I mean, oh my God, I wasn't allowed to take a nap, and go sit on the beach and listen to the waves and take in a sunset. Like the most fun thing we do right now with me and my kids is we will go and have a picnic on the beach and watch sunset.
Sounds like magical.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's like, why didn't I give this to myself a long time ago? Why did I think I couldn't do it? And how grateful I am now to be here and enjoy it. And only it, and it doesn't matter how many years are left. It could have been my whole life that I never got to do it. You know, instead I got to be a badass, undefeated, 2026. And come to the beach and kick my feet up and have my kids enjoy it too and change their life.
Absolutely.
And that's more of a miracle to me than having a successful fake marriage.
No, it is. And you know, I think this is what they never wanted us to figure out, you know, that our power is within us and that our
That
power.
grounding is real. Frequency. Gotta get into this, bro. You gotta get into this frequency.
I know. Like when I think about working with women that come to me, you know, that are they're disconnected from their power source, right? And whatever it was that they have been through, the trauma, the religious trauma, the narcissistic abuse, like whatever it is has slowly disconnected them from their power source.
Yes.
And so healing and recovery is about that reconnecting, loving the girl inside of you, right? And healing
And be
lies
free.
whatever the lies are, like I'm not enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable, I don't matter, like whatever that kind of hole in your soul is, it's like when you go in and you heal that and you know your worth and value from within and no one can take it from you anymore.
Or even the idea of everything you want, you shouldn't have. Some way you have decided
You're
some
not
way that
worthy.
you want.
You're
No,
not worthy of it. I
you
mean, that's
shouldn't.
part of the lie.
You need to sacrifice that. And oh, here we go. Die to self.
Oh yeah, that one. They love that one. They love to take
Very selective.
that one out of
Very
context.
selective which ones of us are dying to self. Very selective. Why
If
did I
you
get
consider
to
trying
back?
this yourself,
Like,
bruh.
how come they
When are you
don't? How
fitting to
come
die?
they don't? How come they didn't get to die? They're not dying. They ain't gone to their self. I
Me how
don't.
to do that. You
I'm
show
gonna opt
me.
out. Can I switch places with you? Sit here. Here. Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand. I never understood that. How come some of us have to die to ourselves but not the other ones? You
And you
know?
said you gotta be a woman to
Right.
die.
Right. Yeah. And even some of the women, I'll even say, would say that there are certain women who, I mean, there were a lot of elders' wives that sat very high up
Close
above
to the
me.
power. Close to the
And,
power.
huh?
Close to the power.
Yes. I mean, that was the only way they could exalt themselves, right? Is riding right along with their husband and exalting themselves over all the women.
Yeah.
You know, they were on the women council
Yeah.
and in the church wick. Oh, God. A wick meeting? Talk about ruin my week if there was a wick meeting. You talk about the, let me talk, you talk about condemnation for the church. Go to a wick meeting, okay? That is like, oh my God, that is some, we're gonna beat you up. And then we're gonna ask you to sign up. And then we're gonna judge you for not signing up for enough.
Oh,
Come
it's
on,
more.
you remember women in the church? You remember that it was like women in ministry, but on steroids.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad I got to miss out on that part.
No, bad, bad.
Bad. Yeah.
No, and I didn't want to be a part of that. So, yeah, women in the church.
Yeah.
Oh my God, shave my head and call me Britney Spears, bro. I am so thankful that I never have to go to another WIC meeting. And if you didn't go to those things, you were, where were you?
Shame, shame,
Where
shame,
were
shame.
you? Where were you? We had a WIC meeting last night.
Oh.
Becky put out flower arrangements and we had desserts, coffee. Samantha shared her testimony and we all prayed over that because she's got breast cancer. Where were you? Where were you? Didn't see you there. Were you sick? Oh, are the babies sick? We didn't see you at WIC last night. Are they sick? Nope. I just didn't want to come.
Gosh, yeah. We never really quite fit into this mold
I didn't play
thing.
by the rules. I did not play by the rules. I
Oh,
didn't.
man.
I didn't play by the rules, and I was super condemned for not playing by the rules. I was.
Wow.
Was run over. I don't know who was driving that truck, but they did a damn good job. Now, I talk to women. It's like people are just put in my path. Like I can't avoid it. Like I can't. There's going to be somebody in my week where this topic is going to come up, whether they're in the church or not in the church. There's this woman who's literally been living with her husband. They're still married. They've tried to get a divorce. The husband wouldn't sign off on the divorce because the husband was keeping too much money. And so she's just stuck in this house, in this broken marriage, and she's trying to get out. And financially, she can't get out. And she's like, I don't need, I just feel like no matter what decision I make, you know, it's the wrong decision. And I just don't want to take the easy way out. And I was like, I just looked at her and I went, which way is the easy way?
Yeah, good
Is the
question.
easy way like you going and financially supporting yourself? Because that's what she was saying. Leaving was the easy way out and staying was hard. And I was like, really? Is it easy for you to leave and emotionally and psychologically beat yourself up for that choice and then, oh, for the rest of your life, and then financially support yourself on your own and your children and still make good memories with you and your children and have a decent relationship with their father, even though he's turning the children against you the entire time? That sound, is that easier?
Yeah.
Because I
Wow.
think the easier would just be to like keep your mouth shut and settle for a fake marriage and let him pay the bills.
Yeah.
That sounds easier to me.
Yeah.
And
Right.
so I challenged her and was like, the well of grace is deep.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody tell you otherwise.
The fact that you're the person that she ran into instead of someone else
Yeah.
who told her to just abandon herself and stop complaining or whatever, you know?
Yeah. And there's so many women living in the church like that. And I'm not saying like this, don't hear like I'm not
Yeah.
saying I'm like divorce them all. Just leave everybody divorce your husband.
Yeah.
Divorce might not necessarily be the answer, but freedom is.
Right.
And he should want to go with you. He should see it too. He should want to see it. He should want to see you. And that's where the love and the marriage is supposed to be, is baby, I'm right there with you. This is all fake, and this is all about image, and I want something real, and I want something real with you. And if he can't start there, then I would say he abandoned the marriage a long time ago for himself and his image. And there's the affair. That was my argument. An affair is not a man sticking his penis inside of another woman. It is literally abandoning his marriage for whatever his love is. And the love was not me. The love was himself and the church and his title and his position. And that, in my opinion, there's your proof of the affair.
It's invisible.
Yeah.
But it's what is the problem, you know?
And it should make you angry, that they're using you to break down the very core of the church. That's what's happening, is they're literally using you as part of the camouflage that they are destroying the very essence of the cornerstone of the church.
And we can't change anybody else, right?
Yeah.
Like, if we think that we're going to stay and love them enough to change them, or they're going to change and start loving us, or whatever,
No,
like,
no.
that doesn't work. The only person we can really change is ourselves.
Right. And that whole, it's going to get better when, it's going to get better when. I hear you. Oh, I can punch him in the throat. I hear you. I hear you. And it's going to get better when. Like, if I could just, that those words would just echo all the time. I mean, I can remember being in my 20s and hearing him say that. Like, I hear you. And it's going to be better when. And what he really meant was, this can be better when I shut the hell up and accept. Like, the very first church that we were in, I mean, a deacon, like, inappropriately forced himself on me. And nobody wanted to do anything about that. I was chewed out for that,
For
for me
saying,
saying that that happened. Yes.
oh my
And
God.
I was like 24. No protection. Deeply wounded. Second church was the church that attacked me for not having a mom growing up. And that was hardcore attacked. We ended up having to leave that church for that very reason, because they wanted us out of there. And or some very prominent members of the congregation wanted us out of there. Homeschool family, oddly enough. Man. Some of you are homeschooling because you have no choice, but this is not the situation I'm talking about. And then seminary happened right after that.
Yeah, church has not been the safest place. It's
No.
been the most unsafe place for us. And for many, many women. I mean, your story, I think, represents so many women.
Oh yeah. And I don't even think the worst of the worst, because I got out. I got out. And I mean, I've been burned down for it, and that's fine. Because I find Jesus right where I am, like every day. Every day I find the love of God. I find peace, I find harmony with nature. Like, however spiritual you want to be about it. Like, if you don't even want to think that it's Jesus and the church. I mean, there's a lot of women who are just being persecuted and hurt and abused, and their family is the one that's pressuring them to just keep up the facade, and it's only for appearances. It's not even for anything biblical. And I'm telling you, like, do the thing of loving yourself. Do the thing of loving yourself, because you have one life to live. And how sad would it be that you were given this one life and you never loved the one thing that you were given, which was yourself? You were given yourself. That was the very first thing that you were given. And you
Absolutely.
don't wake up and do your best to love yourself every day. Well, that was the one thing that you were given.
Well, and Meg, we didn't know that. It took us a long time to learn that, right? And it's why
Sometimes I still don't do it.
I know
Sometimes I
hey,
don't.
recovery is for life. It's an everyday choice of,
Sometimes.
how we choose to love this girl, you
Yeah.
know.
What was it? Not too long ago, I was talking to you, and you were like, Meg, don't beat yourself up. Don't do this and love yourself and don't beat yourself up and do that. And I was like, yeah, well, there's nobody else to do it. So I'm used to being under that kind of scrutiny. So I've gotta be hard on myself and say mean things to myself because nobody else is doing it now. And it's a process of, I'm very thankful for EMDR.
Yes.
I'm very thankful for it. We'll see how that works. Oh, it's a dolphin.
Oh.
Sorry.
So can you tell us a little bit about
The dolphin?
how's
What?
the EMDR going?
It's going great. It's very new. I've only been doing it for a few weeks, but the few times that I've done it have been like, oh, it's almost like there's a chain just got
Yes,
broken.
like rewiring, like
Yeah. Yes. It's like the way I looked at it, I don't look at it that way anymore. It's very strange to even talk about it after. It's like, because I don't talk to my dad anymore because he, when I left or was leaving or was living in the hotel, like he came up and basically just chewed me out for how I was, well, for what I was going to do. I was going to move back home, but he, like, not home in with people, but like move back to my hometown. He was just adamant that I not do that because he didn't want me around family that would help me. He was choosing himself. And very ugly to me. And so I stopped speaking to him after that. And I'm such a fixer, like fix the relationship. I need to fix it. There's something that I can do or say to make all of this better and go away. My whole family, all the women in my family are like that. What do I need to do to fix this? I've done everything I can do to fix this. And you're not even the one who broke it. And so I still kind of go back to that and go back to that, except this last EMDR session. We walked through that whole memory of the last interaction with my dad. And now I'm just seeing it for what it is, like he's choosing himself. He's always chosen himself. He's going to continue to choose himself. And I have to decide, do I want to stand in front of somebody who's always going to choose themselves and get hurt? Or I'm just going to let that go and let them go choose themselves. And I choose me.
So something about it changed your perspective.
Perspective. Yeah. It was like, oh, I'm finally looking at this like a human being who I'm looking at that human being, not as my father, but just as a person who is doing exactly what he's doing, which is choosing himself, which he's always done in a very aggressive, ugly way. And walking away from it was a very brave thing for me to do. And if he never ever chooses me, then that's not my fault. That's not my less than, not enough. That's him choosing himself. That's how some people are. They never see you. They never want to see you because they see themselves and they choose themselves. And they're the victim and the hero all at the same time.
And it's not your fault,
My
right?
fault.
It says nothing about you
Mm-mm.
that he's a shitty person and did a shitty thing and it's
No.
doing a shitty thing.
No. But that's the rewiring of EMDR is because I couldn't get out of it. Like I just couldn't, I've never been able to get out of it because he was my dad and or he is my dad. And I want to respect him and I was taught, I mean, just raised in the South, hardcore, respect your elders, respect your parents. And he would always say, I'd rather you respect me than love me. And the things that he said and the way that he said them and his aggressiveness again with the aggressive behavior that he was giving me, like, I am going to choose that you respect me. And you can not. And now you can choose how, if you want to fix it. Let's see if you fix it. And what does it mean if you don't fix it? I guess I'm going to be okay if you don't fix it.
You're not fixing it anymore. You're a recovering fixer.
I'm a recovering fixer. I'm no longer drinking from the well of fix it.
Yeah. And I remember you were sharing with me like after your appointment, which was it was so cool to hear you talk about it, but it was like you had always saw yourself as defeated, right? Throughout your whole life. And then like somehow you were able to like flip the coin and
And
see
yeah, see it on the other side.
actually I'm undefeated.
Yeah, because I felt, yeah, I would say that. I would say I feel so defeated and so wrong and unworthy and just so broken. And then through EMDR, I was like, wait a second. That's why I keep saying undefeated 2027, is because
Yes.
wait a second. I shouldn't technically be here. It
Yeah.
isn't math. It's statistically broken, all the statistics. I shouldn't be here. Like, my mom left when I was a year and a half. My dad never remarried. My grandmother, let's not talk about her. She was very unkind in a very, very unkind way, as worst way as you could possibly imagine. And then I get out of all of that, put myself through college, marry exactly what I was raised in, escaped that, married somebody else, which was exactly what I was raised in. And yet I'm still here and I'm still loving me and loving other people. I still want to love other people, even though there hasn't been very many people in my life that I would say, loved me back. And that's
Yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Because the most important person to love you is you.
And if you're not loving yourself, then what else do you expect?
Yeah.
And now I only have people in my life that love me. Kind of
That's right.
weird. Kind of weird.
And I think that that's part of recovery too. Our circle just gets smaller and smaller because
Yeah.
you some
Yeah.
people don't deserve to be in there.
Now, if I feel like I need another person in my life to love me, I just manifest them here.
Exactly.
And I'm counting them.
Yeah.
I'm counting
Yeah.
them. You better be worried, bitch.
Hey,
The beach. You don't even know. I hope your bag is packed.
I'm not fighting that. I'm not
Yeah,
fighting
don't worry. Don't worry.
that.
The list. It's on the list. No,
Well,
yeah, very happy.
you what?
That I am very happy with my life, but I do slip back into some very big insecurities and hurt and pain. Like, that's
Yeah.
just part of right being a human, but also being a human who's been through a lot.
It is.
And up until recently, I haven't given myself any credit, none, just
Yeah.
failure. You
Yeah.
are a failure. Even
Yeah.
this week, signed divorce papers this week. I went to work the next day and I felt like a failure.
Yeah. I know you called me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
But.
man,
But then
you.
you see the palm trees, and then you see the waves, and then you feel the air, and you breathe it in, and you're like, "But am I a failure? Am I def am I?"
But what's different, Meg, with you is that you let yourself feel those things, right? You didn't just shove it down, you let yourself feel it so we can heal it.
Yeah,
Because it
yeah.
is painful, Meg. You are a badass, but you've done been through some shit.
I do hard things.
You have been
I
treated
do
like
hard things.
absolute shit by a lot of people.
Yeah.
And that pain
Not wrong. Not
matters.
wrong.
That pain matters. And when you cry,
And I've kept quiet about it. That's the thing, is that I was told to keep quiet by every single person that ever hurt me.
you weren't allowed to feel anything,
No.
Meg. You weren't allowed to have any feelings about anything.
And now I take no shit.
No, you don't.
Just
And
kidding.
you feel it,
And I
right?
feel it. I do. I
You gotta
do.
feel
Because if
things.
you don't feel it, you become a cold-hearted, bitter. I see it all the time. You become a cold-hearted and bitter and lonely and I don't, I'm just, I find that as a symptom of somebody who still sees themselves as a failure, somebody
Yeah.
who's still beating themselves up. And I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Do that. I don't want anybody to do that, but I don't want to do that. I've been through enough. Like, can I just love myself and where I am? Can I do that?
Yeah. And Meg, you are such an example of that. Like that, your transformation is pretty miraculous. And like the way
365 days ago, it was not good.
I know. And it's been
Not good.
pretty quick, honestly. I mean,
Yeah, I get a lot done in a little bit of time.
yeah, you're that
It's been a week.
Yes.
Been a week. Things
Yeah.
have happened this week.
But you know what? I think that because you do that now, because you can do that now, there's almost like this anticipation of what's today gonna hold. You know, like where do we get to love Meg today? What do we get to do today? Who are the people we get to meet today? You know,
What awesome thing am I going to do today? Because I was born that way. There's pieces of it.
exactly.
Got it.
Meg, it's like it's so cool because I've known you for a really long time, and I was, it's like I could see you, but you couldn't see you. I so bad wanted you to see the Meg that I saw.
I know, girl, my eyes, I see you. I
But
remember, finish. I'm sorry.
no, I'm just saying, like you're doing that now. Like
Yes.
it
No, I am.
excites me so much to see you seeing yourself for who you actually are. The amazing, beautiful, awesome human that you are.
It makes you feel so less empty and so and less in need of other people. Like, not that having somebody is wrong, but I mean, I don't need a, I don't need a husband. I don't need it. Now, if there
No.
was a complimentary human out there who wanted to enjoy my company, that would be different. But I have not ever, come across that. But, I remember us having vaguely having conversations about you in seminary saying, "You're just dumb." Oh my God, if you said that, you make me so mad.
That was one of my lies.
Meg, I'm just dumb. And I was like, "How are you dumb? You're not dumb. Like, stop doing that." And it
Yeah.
made me so mad. And now look at you. Look at you, what are you doing?
Hey, I'm proud of us. I'm proud of
We're
both of us.
badasses. We're undefeated.
Undefeated, baby.
And we would have considered ourselves the bottom of the totem pole, weak of the weak, broken of the broken, nothing to offer.
Right.
And,
And that's what they wanted us to think.
oh, yeah.
Okay,
Please sit down.
I
Please sit down. Sit down. We ain't even talking to you.
don't
So.
know that it happens very often, a story like ours, you know, to kind of come where we came from and both kind of go through very similar things, catch back up on the other side of when we are reclaiming our life.
Yes, so weird.
I
So
know.
weird. It really was. Because when you messaged me on Facebook, which was interesting, like you didn't have my same telephone number that I had
I
forever.
know, but we
You
were
were like, "I'm
connected.
messaging you on Facebook and I didn't know if how you were doing and blah, 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 but I didn't know if you knew that I got a divorce." And I read that and my mouth was like, I
Drop.
didn't see that coming. And I immediately was like, "What happened? What happened? I'll fucking bury him. Where I'll bring a shovel. Did he, when did you leave?" I was like, I was all over this phone. "I'll bury him. I blocked him." I was like, no. Because I remember him messaged me after that and I was like,
Yeah.
put
It's weird to think, but I feel like
him right now.
we were purposefully isolated from each other.
Yes.
Like, I can't explain that, except I just feel it. I feel
We
like
were at one end of the battlefield, and I was at the other end of the battlefield.
yeah.
And we were slowly just kicking ass until we finally got back to each
Until
other.
we got back to each other. Yeah, because when I hear you talk about what you went through and think about, I wasn't there for that. Like that really does break me. Like that crushes me. You were alone in so much of that. And so I still just feel really sad
That's
about
sad.
that.
And it was sad to not be without. But I also was condemning myself at the time because I was under attack, and no, everybody at the church, nobody had anything to do with me. So I just assumed nobody would have anything to do with me. And so I didn't tell anybody really what was going on. I think I did reach out to you a couple of times, but y'all were in the thick of y'all's thick without you telling me. You wouldn't tell me that. But, I think even reached out to me.
I think there were some communications that was trying to keep us from finding each other.
Yes. Yes.
And then I was
Yeah.
sick one time that you reached out. So I was really kind
No bad COVID.
of. But you know what? But they didn't keep us down. They didn't keep us apart.
Fucked around and found out, didn't
Thanks.
they?
Oh, man.
That's okay though, because it's okay though, because it means all the more now. It means so much now when we talk to each other or when we're together, and we just picked right back up where we left off with all of our funny little sayings that we have and all of our sarcastic ways and I will cut you.
The devil rainbow that we saw at the beach.
The what?
The devil
The
rainbow.
triple rainbow. Yes. The triple rainbow. People
Oh,
are
the things we had to do
good
to
talking
keep
about.
ourselves
So great.
sane.
So great. So great. No, we showed that to the kids, your kids, so they could just understand.
I still don't think anybody
Oh,
understands.
it was just so funny at the time.
You had to be there, okay?
Right. I mean, we were at seminary. We had very few avenues of finding entertainment, and YouTube was the only thing around. Like, there wasn't TikTok and all the funny memes and stuff they have now. So we just had YouTube, and these funny little things would these videos that they would make. That was when Had Your Kids, Had Your Wife, that one came out. And Bon Kweekwee
Which
and
one made a
her.
tickle cheeseburger?
And then the double rainbow, and then
Oh my gosh, yeah.
we just tried to laugh through it all with something.
We still did, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah.
I mean, think about all of our water slide parties and the so appling party.
Yeah. So I have two of my kids' birthdays are 2 days apart, plus one of them is on my birthday. And so we would just have one big birthday party. And we'd invite all those little hellions from
Old
kids.
Town Home.
And I would get a big double water slide, which eventually the adults would go down. That was hilarious. Or we would just buy a slip and slide and have everybody come redneck slip and slide on the slip and slide. That was really funny.
Oh, yeah.
But we did. We created parties,
You
you
were
know.
living it up.
We were painting pumpkins and having apple parties, and we would just whatever we could figure out very cheaply to have a good time at, we did.
We did, and I feel like we've always done that, and we're still doing that even now.
Yeah.
You know, like our kids are still our pride and joy, aren't
They
they?
are. Oh my gosh, they're so sweet. Oh.
No, they've been through hell too, but they're amazing humans, and we're all learning and growing. And I think because we chose to love ourselves, now they're also having the
They
same
can do it.
opportunity.
They can do it.
Themselves too.
I truly believe that that is going to change all of their lives, really
Yeah.
all of their lives. I have to speak it to them constantly, but
Yeah.
man, I mean, just giving Evie the permission to like choose that, like
Yeah.
you can choose it if you want to, Evie. It's here if you want to choose it. And she runs to it. It's just amazing to watch her just love herself and enjoy life. And I'm loving watching that. I'm loving watching them all be free.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And we didn't have that before, right? It's
No, no.
why we left those environments because
We
there
had
was
plenty
no
of freedom.
freedom in there. There was no peace and no freedom, you know?
Yeah, it was just condemnation, and we taught condemnation to them, and that stings
That
to listen
hurts.
to my especially because when he goes through a stressful time, he slips back into this whole, what did I do wrong, and how have I, failed the Lord, and I just need to spend some time in prayer, and I'm like, no, you
Yeah.
didn't fail.
Yeah.
No, it's just life presents a problem, and you have the balls enough to find the solution and know that it's going to present itself because the Lord loves you and wants good things for you, and you're just not seeing it, and you're going to start looking for it, and like the minute you say that, it starts to present itself, and he's like, oh, and I'm like, stop living in condemnation that you're not a good, you're a good man, you're a
Yeah.
really good man,
Yeah.
and you're only 22. Just imagine if you. if you continue to be a good man. Like,
Yeah.
you're going to be the only one at 40. Like, you're going to be the only one that's a good man. I mean, you're
Yeah.
like standing up to grown men,
Yeah.
fighting for what's good and right and true. 22-year-olds aren't doing that, okay? They're playing video games, getting drunk, and being idiots. And you are a hardworking, good, loving human being. And I'm not going to let you sit here and tell me that you're not a good man. Not for a minute. I don't care what bad thing happened.
That's right.
I don't care
Yeah.
about it. No.
But he has a mom. He has a
Huh?
mom like you that is telling him that.
That
Like,
I'm freeing them from that.
what
Yes.
a gift, Meg.
Yes. I'm freeing from that. I am like gonna be a good mom.
And they have seen you transform too. I mean, you're not just saying, hey, go do this. You did this and you're
Yeah.
inviting them into it now. You know,
Yes.
like
Yes. Yeah.
it doesn't work when we stay in it.
No.
That
No.
doesn't work.
They saw how miserable I was. I mean, they had asked me for about 2 years to leave. They saw how miserable I was. They saw it was affecting them and it was affecting me. And so they knew that there needed to be freedom. And
Yeah.
I mean, I was asked several times by them to leave. And you know it's bad when they're asking you to leave. You know it's bad.
Kids are
Because you
so
lived in
smart.
a really nice house in a really nice neighborhood, and they got lots of really nice trips to places that, they may never go be able to go again. I'll be damned. Oh, yes, they will. Mama will pay.
Right.
Mama
But
will
that
pay.
doesn't mean
But
shit.
it doesn't mean shit to them. It doesn't mean shit to them. They were like, we'd rather not go anywhere else and be poor and have Christmas in the car. Oh my God.
Yes, Christmas in the car. Tell us about
Oh
that.
my God, Christmas in the car. Oh. Christmas in the car.
Last year, right?
This was just last Christmas. Slightly heartbreaking, but hilarious. And they loved it. Okay, so my ex, because I did sign divorce papers this week,
There we go.
so we can call him that now. My ex literally ruined every birthday, holiday. He was the true narcissist.
Yeah.
And he would either make it some sort of drama with his ex and the kids, which was never real, or he was sick all of a sudden, or something, or he'd pick a fight, something would happen. And I loved any kind of family tradition. Like, I was all about incorporating different things so we could have, games or hang a special ornament on the tree or whatever, like anything that would create a memory.
Yeah.
Around a holiday or a birthday or vacation or whatever. Like, I was all about planting the memory of joy
Yeah.
and family. And so I was like, man, I don't, and even my kids would be like, oh, Christmas, he's gonna ruin Christmas. And so I was like, okay, this year, and he had already said something about that's a lot of presents under the tree. I was like, well, because I got the money to spend. I ain't spending your money. I never spent any of his money. He always blew his money, so he didn't have money for his kids. So I always ended up buying the Christmas gifts for his kids.
Oh, God.
And he bought one gift for my kids, and it was for Asher. It was just for Asher. He didn't buy any gifts for my girls. And bought me a pair of house shoes. Anyway, it doesn't matter. None of that matters. What I was getting at was, I decided I would take like half of those gifts and put them in my car. And I was going to take, we had plans to go to Kindle Market, Chris Kindle Market or whatever. It's a German Christmas themed thing that one of the towns close by was doing. And it was elaborate and wonderful and unique. And they had not been to anything like that. So I took them. And we went, and we always have such a fun time, even if we're just like people watching or, joking on each other. Or, they were like, let's take pictures with the German Santa Claus. He looks like the Pope. Like, they, just stuff like that. They're hilarious people. And so we hung out there, and it was real Christmassy, and Christmas drinks and Christmas food, and listened to like German music, Christmas German. It's very, very interesting. Anyway, went back to the car, and I said, okay, now we are going to do something called Christmas in the Car. And they got all excited. Now you're talking about a 20-year-old, no, 20, no, he's 21. You're talking about a 21-year-old, an 18-year-old, and a 14-year-old. And they were so excited. They were like, "What's Christmas in the car? What's Christmas in the car?" And I was like, "Well, Christmas in the car is we're not letting anyone ruin our Christmas. We are going to do our Christmas presents together. And we're going to take pictures, and I'm going to let you enjoy all of them. And we're going to have Christmas in the car." So, and I had snacks and like candies. And Asher and I had gotten this little like German warm wine thing or whatever. It was interesting. Anyway. So we were having a fun time, and they opened up all their gifts, and they would hold them up like and smile and have all these pictures of us doing Christmas in the car. And they were so funny. They were talking about it just the other day about Christmas in the car, and they were like, "Yeah, we should do that again." I was like, "We
They loved it.
have to do it again. Like, we can do it around our own damn Christmas tree where nobody's gonna ruin it." And so they were like, "Yeah, but we could still get like a present in the car." And so, like, you poor little abused children. Like,
They will remember that forever. Like,
it was all about no matter what, we're gonna find each other and be happy in the moment.
that's so
It didn't
beautiful.
matter what it was. You know, we're hell bent to enjoy each other. We are, all four of us are hell bent on enjoying each other.
That's so beautiful. That makes me so
Yeah.
happy.
Yeah, we love it. We love it. My youngest didn't go, but yesterday we went out to the beach and we like just jumped waves and threw each other the water and messed around. And I mean, that's like 22 and 19 and 40, like, and we're just playing like kids, and we just, because we enjoy each other, and we've all been through so much, like nothing matters. Like, just enjoying each other
And
more.
when you've been through so much like that, you cherish it so much
Oh
more.
yeah. I cried when he left, of course.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
You'll get him there, I'm sure. You'll manifest getting
Worried. I better be worried.
Meg has
I've been
powers.
manifesting stuff, okay? Don't piss me off. Don't piss.
I've watched you manifest a job. I've watched you manifest lots of
Not crazy. Yes. I did. I manifested this job that I'm in that like has this beautiful, well, you can't see it because I like blurred it out, but it has literally, I'm looking at these yachts in a marina out on the bay, and the ocean is that way. And I have this big panoramic view of the sky, and I get to watch the sunset from here if I want to work late. Like, it's insane. It's stupid. They pay me to do this. It's stupid. And I love it, and it's great. And you know, we are 10 minutes from the beach, and yeah, I did decide that's what I needed, and that's what I got. And then I
And
manifested that extra money too. I just wake up and just start thinking about what I want and what I think, you know, would be beneficial to my peace, my prosperity, my purpose, and my power. And I literally just hone in on that's gonna happen.
it's so
It's gonna
amazing.
happen. I believe it. Happen. And I don't know why I'm surprised when it
I love it. It's so fun to watch you just in your pure joy, you know, and to know that it's real, you know, to know that it's just so, you really are living that right now. It's such a joy to see that as your friend and to know.
Girl, I didn't even wash my hair today. That's how much I'm enjoying it. We went to the ocean yesterday. There's some nice whale piss in here. Like, it looks fine. It's fine. It's fine. 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 I live at the beach. It's fine. I like it.
You save old people in
Oh my
the
God, those people didn't have any teeth. They left their dentures on the beach. And she just
water.
had hip surgery, and she was like, "I'm gonna just wanted to enjoy the ocean." Like, the rip current alone has killed like a 45-year-old grown strong man, but come on,
Oh
buddy.
my
Come here.
gosh.
Come out here. I'll watch you drown, lady. Like, what are you? No teeth. I just wanted to enjoy the water. I'm gonna hold you up. Let me know when you're done. Don't forget you gotta walk back. I can't carry you. I just had hip surgery. Out
It's
here.
dangerous.
And then her husband's like, "I'm so glad y'all came along. She would have drowned. You know this information before you walked out here?"
Do we think this is a good idea?
Yeah. You have a life insurance
Like,
policy on her. What is happening? What were you doing? You were just holding her hand while the waves were just going right over her. You're underwater and you were just holding her hand.
oh my God. I love you so much. And
I
I
love
am
you.
so excited to have you on this podcast. And we've
Yeah.
talked about how we want our stories to help other people. You know, how we want other women to be encouraged and see the possibility of being loved and being free, you
Yeah,
know.
I know you think it can, and I believe in you, so
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just over here living it, you know. The only lives that I've seen it change are my children's. So,
Maybe. Well,
but if you think other people can hear it and go, wait a second, then
honey, you
my
don't
God.
even know. But what do you want to say to those ladies that are listening right now? What do you want to say to them?
Which ones? The haters? No, I'm just kidding.
No, not for
Leave a
them.
comment. No, waste your time. God, you know, I think I would just love to say, baby, the well is deep, and go love yourself. Do not be afraid to love yourself, no matter what it costs you. If you think it's going to cost you too much, you are thinking wrong. Okay, there's not an amount that it's going to cost you that it's not worth to pay. Lose it. I lost so much in the divorce. I don't care. I don't care. I get to wake up and not be underneath that anymore. And I get to love myself. I get to feel loved. I get to be free. I get to buy whatever underwear I want to buy. Everything that you want in life, you should have. Everything that you want in life, you should have. And there shouldn't be any guilt behind any of that. And I just am so afraid that, you know, one of my biggest fears was that I just don't want to die not having any of that, not having any love for myself or love for life or enjoying any of it or waiting to enjoy it because I kept being put off. You know, it'll get better when or when, you know, one day or no, you only have today.
That's right.
And you have one life and one soul, and you were given it to love.
Yeah,
And it's
absolutely.
not being selfish. They told you that on
Yeah,
purpose. They
right.
can't get anything out of you if you want to love yourself.
Right. Damn, it's true.
They can't. And so, come on down here, girl. There's plenty of room in the sand. Plenty of room in the sand. Put your toes in, wiggle them around. It's nice.
So, our podcast is called Not That Girl Anymore. So, what does that mean to you, Meg?
I'm just like 100,000% not that human anymore. Like I'm just not. I don't talk the same way. I don't think the same way. I don't do the same things. I don't allow people space that they think they deserve. I only allow people space that I think deserve space. I wouldn't say I was a bitch. I would just say I've learned to not be transparent to people because that is a weapon. I've learned to only let certain people in my circle that can love me back. And that's just not who I was. Like I was taking everybody's shit because I thought that was what I was called to do. Die to self and be a servant and have a servant's heart. And what does that look like? Well, it certainly doesn't look like not loving yourself. That was where they got it wrong. And it certainly doesn't look like them taking advantage of you. It certainly doesn't look like not having any boundaries. It certainly doesn't look like your husband being raised up on this pedestal while you're down there. You know, it doesn't look like any of that. Or your
Absolutely.
kids. Get some shit wrong and tell everybody you're still loved. Do that.
Exactly.
You know,
So who are you becoming? Who is this girl?
I'm not gonna lie, I don't 100% know yet. I'm still in MDR therapy, but I can see a version of myself being carved out where I'm confident. I'm walking into a room because I'm a person. Like I'm a person. And I'm
Like
not a person necessarily that you all have to respect and like, but I take up space.
right.
And I'm not going to apologize for taking up space, and I'm not going to say I'm sorry for it. And
Here we go. Amen.
so my job that I have to do a lot of like networking and marketing and pass out our information because we're building a new company. And
Yeah.
so I noticed at the convention center that there was a convention center for all of Alabama police chiefs, whole association. So there's like 300 to 500 people there. I'm like, well, I'm just gonna walk in and talk to some people and see if they'll let me leave some cards. Very basic. I didn't think I was getting past the table, right?
Yeah.
And then so-and-so was like, well, you really need to talk to this guy because he's the president. And he was walking up. And
Yeah.
so the president is like this nice older gentleman. He was like listening to me talk, and I was telling him all about it. And he said, well, you know what? During the next break, why don't you just get up on stage and tell everybody about it? Okay, well, I didn't really prepare anything, but I called my boss and I was like, help me wing this, like, help me walk through the speech.
Yeah.
And then I waited around and I walked around and met a bunch of people and got photos with them and then waited and
That's
talked to the
awesome.
president for a little while. And then it was my turn, it was break time. And he said, how about you wait? Let's wait until they're all coming back in and we're doing door prizes, and then a whole bunch of them will come in here. And then he said, and I said, oh, you want me to just stand down here and you're just passing the mic? And he went, no, go up on the stage. The stage is like so up high, like he's a tall guy in it, like the
Yeah.
stage is his shoulders. And I was like, I'm afraid of heights. So
Afraid of heights.
there's this big, like presidential, it's
Yeah.
a pulpit. What is it? A stand, like a speaking stand, whatever that's called.
Yeah.
And a big screen behind me, and it was like, oh my God, I'm about to talk to like 250 mostly men to like 300, and it was just packed. It was just packed, and I'm like, okay,
I can
and
do
I can
it.
do it. I can do it. And so I just went up there and I grabbed the mic, and I was like, and I just was so charming and so bought out, and then I was like, I'm going to be walking around. If any of you have any questions, just let me know.
That's so
Thank you
awesome.
for your service and your work and peace. And I walked down the stairs like nothing happened, and everybody clapped, and I was like, what's happened? I don't even know what just happened. I just walked into a room of a whole bunch of people, and that wasn't the plan.
Yes.
That wasn't the plan. It's crazy. So I would say, let's go back. I would say the person that I am becoming is that person, a person who can walk in the room and not apologize for existing and then be given opportunities to be much more than they ever thought they were.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's who I'm becoming. That's who I'm becoming.
Ugh, girl, I'm amazed by you, and I'm so proud of you.
So.
And I'm so excited to just watch you like soar. You know,
Yeah. Because,
it's
like,
just
statistically, I'm just not supposed to be. And now I'm like out escalating and just
Yeah.
exploding. And there isn't anything that I did other than decide.
Yeah.
There's nothing. There's no special remedy. There's no business class I took. There's no therapy that I took. It was just, I just decided.
And you continue to choose it every day.
Yeah. And it just started unlocking one door after the next and opening my eyes more and more and more.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Meg, I know this is your first time on the podcast, but I know it's not going to be your last.
Not. There's so many things we didn't talk about. No.
So much to talk about. And you know, we've often just talked about just letting people in our little conversations.
I
You
know,
know,
right?
we talk
Because
about
we haven't even broached the subject of all the bitches that won't have anything to do with this, all of our friends that won't have anything to do with
this
this
is
now.
true, yeah. Because going through this can be one of the loneliest experiences of our life.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's like, but if they're not really for us, then we open up space for the right people, you know? I
Yeah.
mean,
Oh, I've met some amazing people, yeah.
yeah. But we will continue this talk, okay?
Because you're amazing. You
You're
should.
amazing and you're not that girl anymore.
Feel that. Not going to be that girl anymore.
That's right.
Not going back.
Thank you, everyone, for being here with us today. Remember that you matter, your story matters, your voice matters, your dreams matter, and you're not that girl anymore.
I love that.
Just a quick note. I am a licensed therapist, but this podcast isn't therapy. It's not meant to diagnose or treat anything. It's here to offer you support, encouragement, and real conversation. If you're struggling, please reach out to a trusted professional. You are not alone, and you are so worthy of healing. Even if your voice shakes, keep using it. Your healing matters. If you're ready to go deeper, you can book a session by clicking the link in the show notes or visiting our website, embraceyourbrave.org, to learn more about our therapy and trauma-informed coaching options. Let's explore how we can walk this journey together. You are not alone. Embrace your brave, sis. You're not that girl anymore.